Proverbs chapter 20. Much wine makes a person loud and foolish. So getting drunk is condemned here by Solomon because it's foolish. It leads to folly. It's not the way of wisdom. So all God's laws have got a purpose. He doesn't just say, oh, I don't want you to do this just because I say so, just for the sake of it. The idea of not getting drunk is because when you are drunk, you will then do things which are foolish and sinful. The wrath of a king should be feared more than you would fear a growling lion. Any fool can start arguments. The honourable thing is to stay out of them. A farmer who is too lazy to plough his fields at the right time will not have any harvest. Of course, that looks ahead to spiritual things, because the great harvest is when Jesus comes back. And then there will be the harvest where the Lord Jesus will put in the sickle, as it were, and harvest us. And he's sowing his seed now, but it is up to us, really, how we respond. And so how we're living now affects how we're going to live and be eternally. That is the simple point. A man's thoughts are like water in a deep well, but a wise person will draw them out. Everyone talks about how loyal and faithful he is, but just try to find somebody who really and truly is. So loyalty is something that you don't often come across, unfortunately, because people might be your friend, but then they chop and change when it seems best for them. And integrity in relationship is something which we ought to have because we ought to reflect how God treats us. And God is always faithful to us, and so that's how we should be to other people. How blessed are children if they have a father who is honest and does what is right. The king sits in judgment and knows evil when he sees it. Now, so often these proverbs seem to be justifying the king, and it's, well, I guess got to point it out that they were written by Solomon, who was the king. And it seems to me that although they're inspired by God's Spirit, these proverbs tend to be Solomon using God's wisdom in order to justify himself, as if to say, look, I'm the king, I'm always right, don't question me. And we can do the same. We can use God's truth to justify ourselves. Who can say that his conscience is clear, that he has thrown out all his sins? That's sort of quoted by Paul when he says, I know nothing against myself. This is 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4. I know nothing against myself in my own conscience, that is, but I am not thereby justified. It is the Lord who justifies me. So it's no good saying, well, I can do that. That's okay. It's okay in my conscience. Because we're not judged in the last day by our conscience. As Jesus says, there is one thing that will judge in the last day, and that is the word that I have spoken. So it's not that our conscience will jump outside of us and we'll stand there and be judged by that at the last day. We'll be judged by the Lord Jesus and his word. Even a child shows what he is by what he does. You can tell if he's honest and good. The Lord has given us eyes to see with and ears to listen with. If you spend your time sleeping, you will be poor. Keep busy and you will have plenty to eat. Well, that's what Solomon is saying. And yes, it may be true on one level, but it's not true on another because people work hard and are still poor. People are lazy and get rich. And this is the whole thing with Proverbs, that there is almost an intentional contrast between some of these verses and other verses in the Bible. For example, the verses that lament how the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer, like the Lord Jesus, like Job, etc. And so verses like this then may be true only ultimately in a spiritual sense, that it's by hard work spiritually that we will prosper. Those whose words are informed by wisdom have something far more valuable than gold or jewels. Anyone who is foolish enough to be a surety for a stranger's debts should have his own property held to guarantee payment. So then, the idea of being a surety was saying that, if he doesn't pay the money that he's borrowed, I'll give it back to you, or you can take my house. And to do that for a stranger was, of course, foolish. But people did it because they were being sort of carried away by somebody's fair words, thinking, he's such a good chap, the guy seems such a solid person. So it's another way, I think, of saying don't be deceived by slick talkers, especially when it comes to money matters. There's a lot of people who are just very slick talkers, who are just salesmen trying to sell you something, trying to get you to sign up to something because they want basically money. What you get by dishonesty, you might enjoy like tasty food for a moment, but soon it will be like a mouthful of sand. And I think that's an allusion to death. So then these people who carry on like this, getting people to sign away their house, their money, etc., dishonestly, they might have a big buzz just for a moment, but in the end they're going to die eternally. A gossip can never keep a secret. So stay away from people who talk too much. And I think the idea is those who talk too much are likely to gossip too much, because that is the way of our flesh, unfortunately. If you curse your parents, your life will end like a lamp which goes out in the darkness. The more easily you get your wealth, the less good it will do you. And unfortunately, the world is full of easy wealth schemes, get-rich-quick ideas. And the Proverbs are saying that this is not the way to happiness. Don't take it on yourself to repay wrongs. Trust in the Lord, and He will repay. The Lord hates the person who uses dishonest scales and weights. In fact, under the law of Moses, it was a really huge offence to even have in your house an unjust weight and measure. And the only advantage of using a slightly dishonest weight was so that you could make a very small gain. So that if you sold your produce, your carrots, your potatoes, whatever it is you'd grown in the market, and you had a dishonest weight, well, instead of having to give somebody 2 kilograms of potatoes, you might be able to, just give them 1.6, 1.7 kilograms of potatoes. Well, in other words, for unjust weights and balances to sort of be credible, they could only give a very small margin of profit. So God hates people being dishonest in petty things, trying to just get a few extra coins by being dishonest. This is noticed by God, and He particularly hates it. Think carefully before you make a vow to God, so that you do not regret it later. A wise king will find out the wrongdoer and will punish him without mercy. The Lord gave us a conscience, and we cannot hide from ourselves. A king remains in power as long as his rule is honest, just, and fair. We admire the strength of youth and respect white hair, which represents age. So, again, I do wonder whether this is all true on one level, but Solomon is using it to justify himself. He's implying that he is the old wise king who is therefore just. And yet actually at the end of his life, Solomon was not wise. He worshipped idols. He was not made happy by all his wealth and by all the women that he had in his life. He worshipped their gods. And so I do think that he's trying to justify himself. And of course, he whipped the people. His own son said, yes, my father did whip you, but I'll whip you even harder. He was abusive to people. The Bible says that. And so he didn't really have wisdom and justice to the end of his days. So I think he's trying to justify himself. And that's how we can be, just trying to use God's truth to justify ourselves if we're not careful.